Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, pleased to welcome you all to All Sides Weekend, where we talk about the arts. And I have invited two dear friends and a newcomer who'll become a dear friend, I hope, after this program. Joining me to talk about the arts and culture in Central Ohio are three people very much involved with that who all have shows or productions or performances ongoing or coming up quickly. They are, to begin with, our newcomer, Erin Centfen, who is the marketing manager of Broadway in Columbus. Welcome and thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Andy Falter is a dear friend, a colleague. He is an actor. He is currently starring in the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged at the Columbus Commons. You can see it tonight.
Tonight at 7:30.
And through the weekend.
Yes. Sunday is our closing day, 7:30, Columbus Commons.
You do more, but we'll get to that.
Right on.
And Tim Veach is the father, founder, artistic director of the Columbus Dance Theater. And while we were getting ready to go on mic for the program, we were all talking about Cleopatra. So now that I've got your attention, everybody, I'm going to turn to Andy and say, Andy, what's up with the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged?
37 shows written by William Shakespeare, broken down into 100 minutes. Three guys run through all 37 shows, and one of them inevitably ends up playing all the female parts.
Who would that be?
You're looking at him.
Well, with your beard, too. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, the bearded lady. It goes well. But Cleopatra, I do get to play Cleopatra in the show.
Very, very exciting.
Do you play Kate the Shrew?
That one's glossed over, but version of that.
Okay,
one.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the show. And it's in the Columbus Commons. Now, what is it like doing a spoken piece out there?
The Columbus Commons is absolutely amazing. It's a new venue for Actors Theater Columbus. Actors Theater Columbus is still in Schiller Park.
Schiller Park,
other shows going on, including Servant of Two Masters, which will go on through the September 3rd. That Sunday. But at the Columbus Commons, complete works of William Shakespeare, three guys on that huge stage, and we try to balance it out, get everybody involved. We've had terrific audiences, different size audiences than in Schiller, and it's very exciting. It's a madcap romp. It's very funny. Every line is a laugh line, and it's exciting to do. And I get to, well, do female voices, which is always fun.
In a little while, if we're nice, Andy might do a bit of a catch from the show for us, whether he wants to be Cleopatra or King Lear. We'll leave that up to him. Erin Centfen, I do want to Centfen, and you coached me. I do want to welcome you again. Broadway in Columbus brings the big hits to town. You bring big shows. You use the Palace or the Ohio Theater. Discuss.
Yes. Well, we have a fantastic season coming up. We actually open our 12-13 season in October with Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Hasn't been in town for, I want to say, like 7 years or so. It's been a while, but it is definitely a favorite. So everyone's going to be excited to see that. Really nice, big, lavish production numbers. Great music that everyone loves. It's a good family opportunity to get to the theater and just really enjoy it. So we're going to kick off our season with Beauty and the Beast. We also have a premiere of Irving Berlin's White Christmas, which will help you to start your holiday season, because we're going to be having that engagement beginning November 20th. So Thanksgiving week.
And we'll get back to you, but you have Les Mis coming back.
We
and
do
you
have Les Mis.
Green Day's show, Idiot, what is it?
American Idiot,
yep. Which was a big hit. So there's something really for everybody on the big stages.
Yes.
And Columbus is blessed with many stages. The smaller stages do not mean a negation of quality by any sense. Tim Veach, Columbus Dance Theater is preparing a production of Cleopatra, which I've got to know more about for dance, but that certainly sounds like that's going to be a rather large spread. And you have a very attractive brochure here. What's going on with the Columbus Dance Theater? Who are you anyway?
Who am I? I don't know. Tell me.
Tell the public.
I'll tell the public. Well, I'm the founder and director of Columbus Dance Theater, and we are celebrating our 15th season this year, which is a major milestone for us and I would say for any dance company. There aren't very many that go that long, so we're really pleased about that. And we have a huge, ambitious season. And you mentioned the Cleopatra. That's going to be done at the Lincoln Theater in January through the very generous grant from PNC Arts Alive.
Mm, right. That was very important for the community.
Huge.
Just give us a little recap of what that was.
Well, PNC has come in and made a major investment in the arts and through a three-year program they've been putting forward, and they've been giving out significant grants to arts organizations for the past 3 years, and we were very fortunate to receive one for Cleopatra, and it has enabled us to do a lot with the production in terms of production value and bringing in, for instance, we'll have live music and commissioned score from Charles Weatherby, and we're using multimedia elements, and my wife, Christina Kirk, is playing the role of Cleopatra. We're taking Shakespeare's Antony and Cleopatra and transforming it, basically going inside of it, turning it into a dance theater work, taking multimedia and using it to sort of investigate the inner workings of her mind, her as a large figure, her as an intimate figure. And so there'll be speaking, dancing, music, multimedia, it's all going to be combined together.
And Andy Falter is going to do the pre-curtain monologue, which I only bring that up because I'm half kidding. We are so blessed to have such a variety of talents in Columbus, and it's sounding more and more like, and Aaron, you can speak to this, that there are more opportunities for those talents to perform, to present. There are venues that want them. There are audiences out there that want them.
Absolutely. I think that Columbus really does have, you know, an audience that craves every type of arts. So, and we're very lucky in that way. You know, Kappa actually can boast that we present, you know, symphony and opera and Broadway and other types of performing arts and dance. And we're in collaboration with a lot of the local arts organizations as well. And I think that that is just something that the Columbus audiences really you know, have to kind of wrap their arms around and are very, very lucky to be able to have in their backyard.
It's what I've always said, less is not more, more is more, and more is better. Our phone number is 292-8513. If you'd like to join the conversation about the arts in Central Ohio, we're going to talk a little bit more about things that are coming up quite soon or ongoing, as is Andy Falter's production, 292-8513. You can send us an email to allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook. I always like, Andy and Tim, having performers come into the program, locally based performers. You're an actor. You're a full-time actor. You're working either teaching or performing on stage yourself. And I don't know if you're typical of what the actors out there
are. I'm in no way typical.
Well, I knew that part of it. But what is this town like for someone who is an actor, someone who's trying to make a living in the arts?
What's great about this town is Columbus, Ohio is 500 miles away from 48% of the population of the U.S. So working here and basing yourself in Columbus, you're able to get to half of the population in a day's drive if you need to go there for work. Now, I have an agent who helps me gather work, but finding work in this town is much easier than you'd anticipate because of the variety of options you have, from dance, from music, to acting or producing a show.
You as an actor or somebody who wanted to work in the arts, you really have to be able to do all of that. Dance, sing, act, you know,
yes,
work in every genre.
Yes, and my knees are going away, so the dancing part doesn't like me anymore.
Yeah, we can talk about that off mic, and my whole body's gone to hell. But so when you said you can travel anywhere, but let's focus on, you know, Central Ohio. Can you be busy in Central Ohio?
You can at certain times in the season. If you want to be a full-time actor and be show after show after show, it's possible, but it wears you down.
Really? How so?
Well, I'm 50% director and teacher, 50% actor. So I like to mix it up and just to keep myself fresh. That way I'm jumping from one idea that I'm in charge of to one idea where somebody's directing me and telling me what to do. That's just how my personality lays out. Mm-hmm. Having somebody constantly direct me, well, I want my type A personality, I want to take over that one. But there are so many different theater companies throughout town besides Kappa, even Catco. There's Available Light Theater, there's Rock on Tour Theater. Curtain Players are doing some amazing things. And of course, Actors Theater, 31 years here in Columbus.
Is that your local home, as it were? Or
this is my first season with
Actors
Theater.
Oh, really? I thought you were branded with them. Okay, well, you are now, I suppose.
I am now.
Yes. Yeah, and they're coming up with a production also in the Commons of A Midsummer Night's Dream. That's coming
back,
correct.
Right? September 13th through the 23rd, Thursday through Sunday, 7:30 both weekends. It's a free show. But when you think about free shows, there is a 501c3 behind it. There is an organization who's asking for donations, right, who's asking for grants. So when you go see these outdoor productions,
bring $10, will
bring
you?
$10.
Really? You know, that's
help
not
us
that
out,
much.
Help the actors out, help the performers out so they can have another 31 years.
Never mind that. Bring $20. But come. just come.
Anyway. Come enjoy theater. Don't just watch it on a screen.
And Aaron, I was thinking this morning because I was on the phone with somebody else who runs a performing arts organization, and I was talking with him, and I said, selling tickets, putting butts in seats has to be, in this economy, one of the hardest slogs anybody can face. And that's your job.
It is.
Is to fill the theaters for Broadway shows.
It is.
And I recently saw a video documentary on Carol Channing at 90, and she was in New York talking to some gypsies, and she kept saying, "Isn't it a privilege to be in a Broadway show?" And that moved me a lot.
Yes.
That this 90-year-old woman, and she was still up there doing it all. How do you sell the tickets? Where do you go? What do you do? I mean, I know it's all computerized and zip codes and lists, but.
Well, to actually physically purchase a ticket?
No, I don't care about that because we can do that. I want to know how you
get that word
right,
out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, it really depends on the show. You know, each show really lends itself to a different type of audience or maybe a different, you know, target demographic that I need to look at and say, you know, hey, you really need to see the show and this is why. And that's sort of what I try to do too is, you know, not just say, it's a great show, it's been on Broadway, it's won all of these awards.
Right.
I mean, everyone can say
that. Yeah.
Exactly. What I try to do is go, you know, take it that step further and say, this is really why you want to see it. You don't want to miss it. You got to see it in person. And this is the XYZ reason. For instance, you know, when Warhorse is here in April, you have got to see this show on stage. You may have seen the movie, you may have read the book, both fantastic. However, when you experience Warhorse in person and see the life-size puppetry and all of the magic that happens on stage, you will have such a different experience.
I want to come back and talk to you all about live versus now the HD things going on and more. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about the arts. We're taking a quick break. Don't go away. We're going to hear some music, and Andy Falter is going to play Cleopatra for us.
If politics is, as has been said, show business for ugly people, then making fun of politics is strictly for people who should only be seen on the radio. I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for an All Politics Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me this week. That's the news quiz from NPR.
All Sides Weekend tomorrow morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. 82 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today with a high of 91. Clear skies for tonight, a low of 63 degrees. More sunshine on Saturday and a high of 92. Learn more about All Sides with Ann Fisher, all of the guests and topics, by liking the show on Facebook or following WOSU All Sides on Twitter. And All Sides Weekend continues right here on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you, Amy Jurevich. We're back. I'm Christopher Purdy with Tim Veach from the Columbus Dance Theater. Aaron Senefton is marketing manager for Broadway in Columbus with Kappa. And Andy Falter is an actor, teacher, director, currently appearing in the Columbus Commons production of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged, which he tells us is 100 minutes, three guys, and everything you need to know and more about the works of William Shakespeare. Can you give us a little riff? Andy
I
Falter?
Certainly can.
Go
you don't
ahead.
Need to know anything about Shakespeare
okay.
to enjoy this show.
All right.
But I'll go ahead and just give a little
piece. Riff, yeah.
Romeo, O Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. For if thou wilt not, but be sworn, my love, then I'll no longer be a Capulet. What's in a name, anyway? That which we call a nose by any other name would still smell.
Aha!
So you start to get
the change
humor.
Up
I see a little change
up,
and you were channeling Marilyn a little bit too there. Kind of do it.
Actually, it's really my puppy dog voice.
It's your puppy dog
voice.
It's
the voice you use to talk to a dog.
That's a chick magnet right there.
That's how you talk to puppies.
Right. That's true too. I guess I don't know, but you're going to give us some tragedy a little bit later. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And you can see that show ostensibly for free this weekend at Columbus Commons, but bring a few bucks, okay? Because it's important.
Help support local theater.
To support local theater. Aaron, we have some music handy from Beauty and the Beast, which is music of Alan Menken. The show has been here quite a while ago. Mm-hmm. It's been our huge run on the road and in New York, off and on for years. It's a great favorite. Tell me the dates.
It's October 9th through the 14th at the Palace Theater.
At the Palace Theater. And Amy Jurevich, can you give us a little bit of Bell?
Is he gone? Oh, can you imagine? He asked me to marry him. Oh, me, the wife of that boorish, brainless Madame Gaston. Can't you just see it? Madame Gaston, his little wife. Oh, no, sir, not me. I guarantee it. I want much more than this provincial life.
We gave you a free taste of Beauty and the Beast by Alan Menken, which Broadway in Columbus is bringing to town in October. You also have Les Mis coming back. Let's talk a little bit about War Horse. War Horse is coming later in this. I think it's coming next
It'll
year.
Be here in April.
April. Mm-hmm. That has been a hit movie, a very popular book,
yes.
And it's a devastating, in a good way, play. Can mm-hmm. you give us a thumbnail of what's going on with that? Why is that special and unique?
It's very special. The story itself is simple. It's a tale of friendship and courage and loyalty between a young boy and his horse during World War I. So the story itself is very kind of classic and very touching to the heart. But what you really need to make sure you get to the theater and see is the visual part of it. The horses and several of the other characters are actually life-size puppets. The horses are made of metal and leather and are large enough to actually carry grown men on their backs. They are operated by puppets. Each of the large horses are three puppeteers that operate these horses. But I guarantee you, as you're sitting there watching the show, no matter where you are in the theater, you will forget that you're watching a puppet. It transforms itself into a live, breathing, galloping, you know, animal that you just really connect with. And there's some other puppetry as well in the show. There's some geese that are very charming and fun and some birds and things like that. But the show itself is absolutely something that you need to experience firsthand to see it.
Well, I love the movie, but I've also seen the play. And if you've seen the movie and liked it, you don't get a pass because you really, as you said, to see those puppets and the way they're manipulated, you do forget, and they become something, to me, they become something more than animals.
Right.
And not animals that being human, but they were their own species somehow, and they were very much woven into the story, mm-hmm. which was very moving, actually.
Absolutely. You find yourself very connected with them. You know, and they do seem very lifelike, with the ears flick and move and tails move and the sides of the characters breathe in and out. And it just becomes a very interwoven part of the music and the story and everything that is happening on that stage.
292-8513 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation or ask our panel a question about the arts in Columbus or recommend a show. You can also use email allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook. And Tim, I wanted to ask you, and I want to ask each of you, nowadays with HD in the movie theaters, you can go to the Opera Live in New York, you can go to the Symphony in LA, whatever. And I do all those things and like it a lot. But remind us of the live experience of actually going to a theater, getting in your car and going to a theater. And can you compare the two?
I mean, I guess there are comparisons, but I guess it's the difference between talking to your companion on the phone or having dinner with them. You know, it's mm-hmm. the difference between having an actual interaction as a person in a space where you have made a commitment to go out and have an experience that's unique. Because the thing about live theater is it's a unique experience. It's gone once it's happened, right? That show will never come back. Now, of course, you think it's the same show all the time. It never is. Every performance has its own nuance, its own difference, its own change. Every performer knows that. And in dance in particular, I think it's extremely ephemeral and fleeting because every day our bodies are different bodies, right? So we live in this body, and as a dancer, you take that body on stage with you, and tomorrow it will be different. So I think the intimacy of the interaction between audience and live performer is something that can't be replicated electronically. And I think as we become more and more electronic in our interactions with each other, it becomes more important that we have real experiences in the real world with real people where we're not distanced through electronics and media.
Andy, do you think if you were performing in a piece like that that was projected live into movie theaters all over the world, that probably would be good for you as an actor in terms of your career. Do you think it's good for the art form?
I think it's good to get a story out there that needs to be seen. For instance, Merchant of Venice, which was just at the at Schiller Park last month, and I had a part in that role. Al Pacino's Merchant of Venice, which you would think they would take the text, which is 500 years old, and do it word for word. But they completely revamped the storyline. And what is on film in Merchant of Venice, the character I played is in virtually two scenes, when in the actual script, it's in eight scenes in the actual play. So theater, compared to movie theater, they manipulate stories to fit what you can see on that 16:9 screen. When in theater, you're right, every single performance, every single night is different. A show like Complete Works of Shakespeare would never work on stage,
right,
because
yeah.
of the sheer audience interactive, and we break the fourth wall to get you into the performance. And every night, depending on how you react, you being the audience member, is going to affect us, the three actors. And if I can quickly shout out the other two actors' names, Mahmoud Osman and Philip J. Hickman, who also wrote Robin Hood, which opened up the season for Actors Theater.
Right. Now, Aaron, I've actually seen Broadway shows in a movie theater live. Mm-hmm. They've been doing that. Is that something you anticipate coming to town? Would that be good for you, bad for you?
You know, there's a company out there called Phantom Events, and they've been doing several of those productions over the past several years. The most recent one that they did was Memphis. They did a showing of Memphis prior to us actually having on stage this past season. I don't know what the future is with that. I know that it is becoming more and more common that they are putting those sorts of productions out there. But to each of these gentlemen's points about being there live and in person, I think that there is something to be said and to be cherished about the experience that one has when you're actually in a theater and you can feel the energy coming from the actors and coming from the music and the orchestra and, you know, just kind of being in that space versus seeing it on a screen. There's a really good piece to the exposure point, you know, to get people kind of hooked and excited. But the energy you can't replace.
And this is going to get you all hooked. We're going to hear a little music now, if we could. And I think we're going to skip around, Amy, if I'm helpful. Let's hear something from White Christmas, just so we can talk about that with
little holiday Aaron.
Little holiday mood.
On a 91-degree day.
That's right.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday. While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true. Happy holiday, happy holiday. May the calendar keep ringing. Happy holidays, happy holidays.
Broadway in Columbus is bringing to town Irving Berlin's White Christmas, which, believe it or not, has never played Columbus.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. So it'll be here November 20th through the 25th at the Ohio Theater. Should be a great way to kick off the holiday season since it's Thanksgiving week. And we will have a matinee, actually, for that show on Friday.
That's good because everybody wants to get away from their family right after Thanksgiving Day.
Well, I mean, you know.
They do, yeah.
You work it into your Black Friday shopping plans.
Right.
Go do your early morning, you know, early bird sales and then head to the Ohio Theater for a great afternoon of merriment on the stage.
And never mind Bing Crosby. You know, we've all seen the movie, but you could come and see the show in the Ohio Theater.
And it's
White
good
Christmas?
For everyone.
Yeah.
You know, anyone will enjoy it.
292-8513 if you'd like to give us a call, or allsides@WOSU, our email address, with Tim Veach from the Columbus Dance Theater, Aaron Senefin from Broadway in Columbus, and actor Andy Falter, who works for Actors Theater and just about everybody else within the sound of my voice. And Andy, can you give us a little more of the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged?
Certainly. The like I said, there are 37 shows that Shakespeare is credited for writing, and one of them, his most famous, possibly, would probably be Hamlet. And he's got a bunch of famous monologues in that one, one of which I have a chance to perform in the complete work. So I'll go ahead and attempt it. I'm sitting in a chair, but I'll give it all I can.
That's right.
I have of late, but wherefore I know not, lost all my mirth. Forgone all custom of exercise, and indeed it goes heavily with my disposition that this goodly frame, the earth, it seems to me a sterile promontory, this most excellent canopy, the air. Look you, this brave overhanging firmament, the majestic roof fretted with golden fire, while it appears to me no more than a foul and pestilent congregation of vapors. What piece of work is man? How noble in reason? How infinite in faculty, in form, and moving, how express and admirable.
I'm sold.
Okay.
I'm sold. That's Andy. You don't want to be giving it away, okay? Andy Falter as Hamlet. You can see the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, presented by Actors Theater in Columbus Commons this weekend. Sunday's the last performance, right?
Sunday is our last performance at the Columbus Commons.
What time tonight?
7:30. I would recommend getting there around 7 o'clock with a chair or a blanket. Outside food is accepted. Please don't try to sneak in alcohol. There's alcohol for sale from the Columbus Commons.
We would never, ever do such a thing.
I would do that.
No. And tomorrow, what's the schedule tomorrow?
7:30 again.
7:30. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Terrific. Don't miss the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged. This is the Cliff Note version, but it's a lot more fun and moving than reading it about. Have you done this show for kids?
It's not really recommended for kids.
Oh, really? Talk to me.
I would say it's a PG-13 play.
Okay.
We have had kids in the audience, and we do make a few references to kids. And hey, if you have any questions about this weird part, just ask your parents. They love that.
Never mind. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
If your 10-year-old or 11-year-old is mature enough to have a joke fly above their head, but still laugh at a bearded lady and vomit, you'll enjoy it.
All right. Well, 10-year-olds.
I really sold them on the vomit.
10-year-olds like vomit.
Yeah, and they're smarter now than they were back in my day anyway. We have a call from Jessica in Columbus. She has a question about Beauty and the Beast. Hello, Jessica.
Hi, yes. I have a 3.5-year-old little girl who absolutely loves Beauty and the Beast, and I'm really tempted to get tickets because I want her to experience theater. And I didn't know if your guest would recommend a child that young or if I should give it a few years before we try like a Broadway, off-Broadway show.
Well, thanks for calling. That's a great question. I think that it really is going to depend on the attention span of your child. You know, it's definitely this show especially would definitely be one that will keep her attention. You know, it's a lot of great costumes and music and dancing and lights and the characters that will be recognized from the movie, the animated film. So if you feel that, you know, there's a good attention span there, then absolutely. There will be an intermission, so you can get up and walk around, you know, kind of stretch your legs during that intermission. But sure, if you think that she can sit through it, then fantastic. It'll probably be around 2 hours or so, maybe 2.5 hours long with that intermission.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Jessica. Thank you.
There are many young children in my school, and I can say that most of them sit through the theater beautifully.
Yeah.
I mean, if the production is good.
Yeah.
Children are honest barometers. I mean,
right.
You know immediately if something's not quite, you know, attention getting. And as you say, there's an intermission. And the other thing I think it's even if the child went to half of the production, that child, that will be in her experience, and she will learn to love the theater and
Absolutely.
Be a theater goer.
No, she will. She'll go home from that and a little bit changed in a wonderful way.
Exactly.
Amy, can we hear the second Beauty and the Beast cut? A little bit of the finale. That's the opening production of Broadway in Columbus, Beauty and the Beast, coming to Ohio in October. Aaron Sendefin is here from Broadway in Columbus and Caput to talk to us about their season. Tim Veach is the director of the Columbus Dance Theater, and Andy Falter is an actor currently appearing in the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, in Columbus Commons. I have always wanted to ask you, Tim Veach, how does one make a dance?
Wow, that's a question right there.
With a lot of...
Look at me. You can't see me out there, but I am not somebody who would...
With a great deal of courage.
Yes.
I would answer a great deal of courage. I think that making a dance is like composing a piece of music or writing a poem. I think it's not the same thing as being a dancer. Dancers replicate. They are in the way an actor does, you know, has text and they bring that text to life, and dancers take movement and bring it to life. But a choreographer generates movement, usually from his or her own body, sometimes not, but often. And it usually comes as something that you have to do. For me, I can't not see movement in my head, and it's something that has to sort of come out of me. I think there are skills. I mean, I got a master's degree in choreography from Ohio State for a reason. I mean, I think you study, you learn, just like you learn to play the piano or do anything else. But I think it's an impulse that you have that's unique to you. And I think it's something that you do because you must and not because anybody really, you know, says you should. Lots of people say you shouldn't. So
you have... a lot of dances that probably you created out of your own head, and then you have what I would call, for want of a better term, book dances like Cleopatra, which is based on somebody or something else.
Right.
I want a little bit to know about the process of creating something brand new from you. Mm-hmm. When you walk into the studio for the first day, it's the first rehearsal.
Right.
And the other thing, and Andy, I wanted to ask you too, I know the dancers and actors are confronted with either text or choreography. How sacred are those two things?
For me, there's a couple of answers to those questions. One is my process is one where I gather all of this, the things that are going to inspire, and then I walk into the space with my dancers, who are my ultimate inspiration. I just taught a choreography workshop a couple of weeks ago, and I said you can only work with who's in front of you when you're making work. You know, you can't work with dancers that don't exist. So I look at who's with me and I work with their body. I work with them to create new, unique work, which is different than, let's say, we reconstruct a dance and then I have to be concerned with, okay, well, the original dancer was 6 feet tall and we have to make it work like this, you know. So if I'm making something new, I have the music, I have the context of what I want to say, and then I have the people in front of me, and I start moving with them.
That's what's called making a dance on the dancers. Is that right? That's like an old ballet term.
Right, creating on the dancer.
They are your pen and ink.
Correct.
Or your computer.
They are it. And I'm blessed. I just want to do a little shout out to my dancers. And I have to say, I feel so lucky. I have such a beautiful company. And I have committed performers who've been with me for years. And we make work together. And that's a pretty old model. I mean, a lot of that doesn't exist so much anymore.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's hard to do. I mean, you have to have space and dancers and heat and lights and money. And it's hard. And so most choreographers, frankly, gig around. Go around the country, do things here on this group or that group, and groups don't really stay together. We are lucky. We have a home. We have a home theater. We work together all throughout the year, and we make new work. We really are committed to new work, and that's also unique, I think.
And you are the Columbus Dance Theater, which I think is very interesting. You're not a ballet company. You're not a modern dance company. You are
correct. Right. It's kind of a European model. I mean, it's Danse Theater model.
Like the Netherlands Danse Theater.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And, okay. And that's why this Cleopatra, I think, is going to be very interesting. We're also doing a lot of things. We have this Dancers Making Dances program, which opens our season, where the dancers are making work on each other, all new works. I thought one way to sort of kick off our 15th anniversary is truly to celebrate my dancers. And one way to do that is to say, okay, you're dancing, but you also have unique voices as movement creators.
Right.
And that's what they're going to be doing with each other.
And you're also married to a dancer, and you're the father of a dancer, so it's like an infection in your family.
I'm married to an actress.
Yes, okay.
Yes, she often gets beautiful.
You're married
she's
to
a dancer.
Female
actor. She moves beautifully.
Well,
you're married to a female actor. We don't go to a doctress.
Oh, that's right,
okay.
A doctoress. Never mind.
There we go.
Very good.
I suppose so. That marks my age, I guess.
Andy Falter, when you do a new play or a new theater piece, you probably have a little more freedom. But what about a Shakespeare? I mean, how much freedom do you have with a cherished and revered text?
With William Shakespeare, you have no leeway whatsoever. Those words are meant to be spoken the way they were written.
And they will be at Columbus Commons tonight at 7:30. How's that for a segue?
That was good.
We have to go to a break. We'll be back in 90 seconds. Do not move from your radio or your car.
If you can't keep from eating that chocolate chip cookie, don't blame your willpower, blame your brain. On the next Fresh Air, neuroscientist David Eagleman explains how competing networks in the brain
are all battling it out to control your behavior. And it's exactly like a parliament.
His book Incognito is out in paperback. Join us.
Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And join our station, along with WOSU-TV, for live coverage of the Republican National Convention. Starting Monday, WOSU Public Media will bring you special coverage from NPR and PBS, beginning at 8 p.m. and continuing each night of the event. Hear key speeches, in-depth analysis, interviews, and more. That's live coverage from Tampa next week starting at 8 on 89.7 NPR News and on WOSU-TV. It's 82 degrees with sunshine warming up to 91 today. Clear skies tonight, a low of 63. Sunshine and a high of 92 on Saturday and sunny with a high of 90 on Sunday. Support for 89.7 comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation in supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org. And All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm having a blast talking to these three folks about the arts in Columbus. Aaron Senefin is the marketing manager for Broadway in Columbus with Kappa. Tim Veach is the founder of the Columbus Dance Theater. And everybody's favorite actor and mine, Andy Falter, is here. Andy is performing this weekend in the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged at Columbus Commons tonight at 7:30 is another performance. And Aaron, you're bringing a blockbuster back to town, that being Les Miserables, known popularly as Les Mis.
Yes.
That show, you really can't lose, can you?
No, you can't. And if you didn't see it last time it was in town, which was not this past season but the season prior, then you absolutely need to get here to see it this coming May. Tickets will be on sale in the spring.
Here's a little bit of music from Les Mis. It doesn't have any voices. It's the Cincinnati Pops, but you'll get the drift here. Yeah. That's a little bit of Les Mis, Jean-Claude Boubili's score with Jean-Michel Schoenberg. That is coming to Columbus again, thankfully, next spring. Mm-hmm. That'll be a lot of pre-curtain buzz for that because that's a very popular show. That's kind of like The King and I, a West Side Story.
You could see it over and over. However, I do want to make a point to make sure everyone understands that if you saw it many years ago and you're saying, oh, I've seen it before, I don't need to see it again, you absolutely need to see it again. This is a completely newly mastered and created version of Les Mis. We had the first new tour of it last season. This season it will be the same new tour, but what they have done is really recreated and remastered, and we reworked a lot of the scenery, where much of the scenery is based on the paintings of Victor Hugo.
Oh. Oh.
So it's a lot of images in the background. If you're used to the turntable on the floor that,
did they get rid of the turntable?
The barricade turns on, the turntable is gone, but you don't notice it at all, because the new staging is just absolutely incredible. So if you've seen it before, don't chalk it up to not needing to see it again. You do absolutely need to come and experience this version.
I know you have to go with what's touring and available, but how do you fine-tune the choices for Columbus in terms of your programming?
You know, it's a conversation that happens between a group of folks, all of us looking at different things. You know, what has played well here before? What are the audiences asking for? We do reach out and ask the audiences, what do you want to see? What's interesting to you? We also look at what's on Broadway now. What's going to be coming out? What are the new tours? You know, and sort of try to create a feeling of a season. We don't want it to be completely, you know, sporadic and not have any sort of a connection to one another. So we really like to be able to offer the highest quality and best opportunities for people to come and see Broadway in Columbus.
Tell me about the Green Day show.
The Green Day show is going to be really fun. It's Green Day's American Idiot.
Great title, I must say.
Yeah, it's based on their Grammy Award-winning album, and they have turned that album actually into a story about three kids in suburbia and sort of, you know, they're coming up and dealing with different things in their life. It's staged very well. It's really fun. If you like rock and roll, you're going to love it. If you need something different from your normal Broadway show, you're going to also really, really enjoy that. So, yeah, that's absolutely a show that you'll want to see. In relation to that, too, if you're a music fan, absolutely make sure you get down to see Million Dollar Quartet in February.
Elvis, right? Jerry Lee Lewis.
Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Johnny Cash. So it's the story of the famed recording session that they all four came together one night and had a little jam session. And so what they've done is taken that jam session and turned it into the show. You will not sit still for 1 second during that production.
They want you to get up and dance, right? They want you to get up and move. And you'd have to anyway.
Probably. You have to move. And that's a quick one. It'll be 90 minutes start to finish. So you can come, you can sing, you can dance along. It's not a sing-along show, but you will find yourself absolutely enjoying every second.
And not to forget Wicked.
Yes.
Wicked's coming back
for its third time in town. So we're looking forward to that next June. Tickets for that show will go on sale in the spring as well. All of the other five shows of the season are currently on sale, so you can absolutely get those tickets now. Just go to BroadwayInColumbus.com and you can purchase all of your tickets for the upcoming season. We also still have subscriptions available, which is really the way to go if you want to see these shows.
Yeah. And we have a call from Bill. Bill is calling us from Cincinnati. Hello, Bill.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Just wanted to call and comment to the caller who was asking about the 3-year-old daughter going to Beauty and the Beast. I would recommend to her to certainly pick a matinee. That wasn't discussed. And of course, that would make sense to me to take a youngster to an afternoon show. But also, let the daughter wear her most favorite fancy dress to kind of instill going to the theater is special. And when children get to dress up, they know it's a special occasion, or they're going to a special place. And I think the daughter would love it more if she got to wear her fancy clothing.
That's a great idea. I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good show. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for your call. 292-8513. You can send an email to allsides@wosu.org. We have a couple of calls waiting. We'll get to you as soon as we can. Andy Falter, your eyes lit up when Pretty Little Dress was mentioned.
Thank you for that. Last night in the audience, there was a young lady. Her name was Helen, and she was turning 11 on Sunday, and she was with her friend Kate. And I get to know the audience before the show. Once you see the show, and I'm sure everybody who's listening will see it, I'm out in the audience getting to know people. But she was there celebrating her birthday weekend. She's starting school next week. And it just hit me when that caller called. It was an experience for her. Yeah. Her parents even said, yeah, this is part of her birthday gift. So it was just neat to see her and have that experience for her. Because that's
something
she's going to remember.
The theater should be a special event. I still dress up when I go to the theater. I can't imagine not doing that. Thinking about children and going to theater, my first thing I remember seeing was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs at the St. Louis Municipal Opera. My grandmother took me. I think I was 4 years old or so. And it's indelibly etched in my mind, partly because someone spilled a drink down my grandmother's back.
Well, that's good. So that's something you remember. Okay.
I remember my grandmother
having
mental
a moment. Bookmark.
But no, I remember. No, but so I think those young experiences are so important.
I agree with you. I think that absolutely anyone in the arts or that is a lover of the arts can go back and pick some sort of a memory that is that one moment that makes it the reason you do what you do today.
Yep, right.
You know, mine was Les Mis when I was
in
sixth
really?
Grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and that's what
you were in fifth grade with Les Mis. Oh my God!
No, when I saw it for the first
35.
Time. Yeah, when I saw it for the first time, I was that old. In that moment, I will never forget the moment when the curtain, you know, the lights came down and the curtains started to move to the sides, and it still gives me chills to this day. And I know that's part of the reason, you know, that I'm in this business. And I think it kind of is the same for most of the people around me as well.
And we have an email for you from Sarah. When is the Book of Mormon coming to Columbus, and when do tickets go on sale?
I am glad to announce, this is very, very big news, I'm glad to announce that the Book of Mormon will be coming to Columbus in the 2013-2014 Broadway and Columbus season. So sometime next season, the best recommendation I can give to you as far as tickets are concerned is become a subscriber to this year's season. If you are a subscriber to the 2012-2013 Broadway and Columbus season, you then are essentially guaranteed your seat for the Book of Mormon when you renew your subscription. If you don't do that and you want to give it the risk and wait to get your tickets when they go on sale next year sometime, you may not get tickets. It's currently in Denver on its premiere engagement on the road and or national tour. And it sold out 5 weeks and 5 hours.
Call me. I know where the doors are at the theater. Don't worry about it. But anyway, but no, she's right. Erin is absolutely right. Subscription is the name of the game right now. Marty wants to recommend that kids be introduced to theater through Columbus Children's Theater and Catco Phoenix, which is great. That's a great idea. Performances last up to an hour, designed to keep children from 4 and up. So we should absolutely shout that out, because
Catco is Kids has a great season coming up as well, and you can go on kappa.com and get information about that, and catco.org, catcoistheater.org.
And we have a call from Mimi and Hilliard about theater in Columbus. Hello, Mimi.
Hi. I have participated in quite a bit of theater in Columbus, and since you just brought up the children and things like that, Bread and Circus Theater in October will be presenting Anne of Green Gables. You've discussed Shakespeare, and currently Antony and Cleopatra, one you don't get to see too often, is running. And there's just so much great community and semi-pro theater out there. You know, it doesn't always have to be, even though, let's face it, I love, you know, to go see Broadway in Columbus. There are just tons and tons of the smaller theaters you don't hear about frequently. Little Theater Off Broadway does fine work too. You know, I could start listing.
Well, don't do that, because I want to encourage people to find them on the web. And I do thank you for that, because you make an excellent point. There's a lot going on here that sometimes goes under the radar, unfortunately. And I know Available Light has their production of Jane Austen coming up shortly, which is beautiful. Pride and Prejudice, yes. Mimi, thank you for the call. We appreciate that.
I think it's so important that there's all this activity.
Right.
You know, and all these people either going to see things or making work because then they want to go see what other work. I think that's really critical. And a lot of stuff for young people. We have a lot of things for young people. We have Match Girl and Midsummer Night's Dream and things like that. But there's really a breadth of things for everyone in town, I think.
Andy Falter, what's coming up next for you?
The school year is coming up next.
Which means what?
I teach theater at Kilbourne Middle School in Worthington.
Oh, really?
This will start my 13th school year.
So
with
middle school's a rough age.
I hated being a middle schooler.
Yeah.
I adore teaching middle
do
schoolers.
Do you really? Great.
I adore it.
Well, what do you do with them?
Every year we do a new show that we've never produced. It's only 7th and 8th grade, so I make sure that the 7th graders who are coming into 8th grade have a different experience than they had last year. Last year we did The Odyssey, and then the students wrote their own version of The Odyssey, which turned out very cute. It was about a woman trying to get home to her daughter. Her name was Jodysius. The security guards were the gods watching her on the way home, and they put obstacles in their way. Kids had a great time with it. And the sirens were just sirens, and it worked out beautifully. So this year we're going to do a kids program at Kilbourne Middle, and I also teach theater at Broadway 2 LA Acting Studio for adults and kids, and that's Broadway, the number 2 LA. And, those classes will start up at the end of September.
So you're busy is what you're telling me.
Pretty much,
you're pretty much busy when you're not performing, you're teaching. Terrific. And Tim Veach, you're off to Maryland to workshop Cleopatra, and you have your new season is opening when?
We open in October with Dancers Making Dances. I have to put on my glasses since I've gotten a little older. And then we move on to Match Girl in December. We have 10 Cents a Dance in February for Valentine's. We have Cleopatra in January. And we have Rock Out. We're doing you talked about rock and roll stuff. We have the String Quartet. That's our resident quartet. Carpe Diem is going to do all rock music in quartet form. And I'm making a new evening length work out of that. And then we close with Midsummer Night's Dream at the end of May and beginning of June.
You do a lot.
It's just a big year.
And you're at the Lincoln Theater for some of your shows.
We're at the Lincoln for Midsummer. We're at the Lincoln for Cleopatra. We're at the Lincoln for 10 Cents a Dance. And everything in our season, except for Match Girl, has live music, which I think is unique to us. I think that's something we've really committed to in a major way and is really important to me as a choreographer.
And Erin, the Lincoln has taken off.
Mm-hmm.
The Lincoln Theater's taken up. Kathy, I know, was responsible for revamping that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful space. They have some great shows coming up in that theater.
Give me one last plug for Broadway in Columbus.
Tickets are on sale now. So you can buy yes. Tickets are on sale now for all five of those of the season shows: Beauty and the Beast, White Christmas, Million Dollar Quartet, Green Day's American Idiot, and War Horse. And then you can look forward to tickets going on sale in the spring for Les Mis and for Wicked. And just make sure you get to the theater. We want to see every single person there.
What's the best date night show?
Oh, I like Thursday nights.
No. I mean the productions.
Of the productions?
I was going to go with Thursday nights.
Thursday nights are good to go to a production.
Now that you said that, I'm going Thursday.
Yeah. The best date night show? I think it really depends on what you're looking for.
Nookie, what's the best date night show?
Do American Idiot.
Oh, well, that works on so many levels.
Yes.
We thank you for that.
Yes.
My thanks to Erin Senefin for coming in
today for
Broadway in Columbus. To my buddy Andy Falter, you can see him this weekend as 37 different characters in the complete works of Shakespeare Abridged at Columbus Commons, and Tim Veach at the Columbus Dance Theater, ever the arts maven here. And my thanks to Amy Jurevich, our producer. Maybe we can go out with White Christmas. Do you think that's possible a little bit just to keep selling it? This is Listener Support. To WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. I'm Christopher Purdy. Thank you.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.